www.visionaryactivist.org. Please stay tuned for Visionary Activist.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So, welcome, team, and it is Bernie Sanders' birthday, and it is the 20th anniversary of the Visionary Activist Show, which began on September 5th, 1996. Yes, music can fade now. There we go. It's excellent. So, team, as we assess the dire beauty of now, you know, it is clear that we are here to animate with nature the guiding story of a renaissance of reverent ingenuity. And as we look at the bleakness of the political thing, if we just look through ordinary eyes, we go, no, and Hillary, my God, she's got no story and no language, so we have to give her one, or maybe not give her one, but we are here inaugurating a guiding story. We're electing a story. That's why the only bumper sticker I had made says Flora Fauna 2016. That's what we're electing. And just as a little side thing, a Washington person who knows about these things said the following, and I knew it was true when she said it, that there is a fifth news network forming out of Trump, Roger Ailes, and Breitbart Brennan and Sean Hannity. And I'm like, yes. So we be the antidote for every toxin. Let's be the tonic, you know. We are rewedding what's been falsely estranged, you know, again, activism and animism, knowledge with soulfulness. And that is part of what our wonderful guest will be animating for us. As you know, we are in Fun Drive. Yay, okay, all right. We're all replacing everything, you know, we get to do this. Yes, we do. And just a little bit of teasing, our wonderful guest, Emmanuel von Williams, will be here momentarily. Von Lee, excuse me. Von Williams is the musician. In a moment, and at the very end, we'll have Delia Carroll presenting the Permaculture Convergence, which we'll be also offering. But we are in Fun Drive, and we'll be offering a beautiful, beautiful film, Elemental, about which it's been said, one of the year's best documentaries. Each story within the film is excellent, and I've reflected on the people within the film and wondered how they're doing. These are excellent documentaries out there, but this is a true gem. Very glad to see this film on iTunes. We go, sure, everybody, you could get it on iTunes. There's no secrets here, but why not get two birds stoned with one scone, we always say. And you can have, as a thank you gift, as a magnetizing enticement, you can have a DVD of this really useful and beautiful film for a pledge of $100 by calling 1-800-439-5732 or donating online, kpfa.org. And there are other things that we will be bringing up in the fullness of time. So, yes. Happy birthday, Bernie Sanders. I did his solar return chart and put him in the White House just for the fun of it, psychically. So we welcome Emmanuel von Lee, filmmaker, musician, composer, whose award-winning films have been featured on PBS, National Geographic, The New York Times, The New Yorker, The Atlantic, exhibited at the Smithsonian, and screened at festivals worldwide. And we are offering two of von Lee's films as Fun Drive enticements, Elemental and Living Library Volume 1, also for a pledge of 100 that we will be animating for you. So welcome, Emmanuel von Lee.
Thank you, Caroline. A pleasure to be here.
That's great. So power of story. I did, I suppose we can go anywhere, as I said to you backstage, and certainly all these things are really important with the Standing Rock Water Protectors, you know, and your dedication to story and educational programs, and with people who have an earned optimism, is that fair to say? I mean, they're up against it, but you know, when we hear the beautiful people in your film Elemental, they're right up against it, but they're insisting on against all odds optimism.
I think that's right. I think they have a resilience because they have a commitment, like I think many activists do, or many of the people who are participating in the Standing Rock story, I guess I would call it right now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they feel they have a choice. I think they're human. They struggle. They have up days and down days, as the film illustrates. But in the end, they have a perseverance and dedication for the future. And I think they need optimism that there is something better out there, that there is an alternative that they can strive towards, that they feel they want to not only believe in, but commit themselves and their lives towards.
And I think one of the things that's gliding into place, you know, and we can see that, you know, in Standing Rock and Idle No More and all of these movements and in your film Elemental, it is, you know, like Rajendra speaks about pilgrimage. The Standing Rock people say we always take time out every day to pray, to forge our alliance with water. Jay Harmon, we want to, you know, honor much of what all of your characters say. You know, we are all creatures of nature immersed. And he says optimism is a survival strategy. Nature is always optimistic through abundance. And so it is this kind of rewedding of knowledge with compassionate, empathic kinship. Yeah, is that fair to say?
Definitely. You know, I think that what I've experienced as a filmmaker observing these characters in Elemental or the other films that I've been able to create, the stories I've been able to tell, is that there are two stories unfolding. You know, there's the story of the human struggle and there's the story of the natural world and nature responding to that. And what I find so intriguing is, as you describe, both, you know, quoting Jay about optimism and how he observed how nature survives and thrives, and also your reference to what's happening at Standing Rock and the need to take time aside and whatever you're doing to pray, or Rajendra to give pilgrimage, is that there is the story of the natural world waiting for us to listen to it and to respond in a way that understands its value not purely as a commodity or a resource to extract and use for our own benefit, but to give thanks and praise and be in a state of relationship with the world around us.
That is the indigenous wisdom that lives in all of our kind of mythological bones and blood and DNA of a partnership, a partnering that, you know, it is more than perfect, that we humans can't solve any of these irreverent crises by ourselves. It's by ourselves that got us into this pickle. So I love, you know, also one of your protagonists in Elemental, you know, Rajendra, and when he goes to visit the woman Saint Mata Bhakti Priyananda, and she's pretty upbeat. I mean, she's just, it's a great tone, and I encourage everybody to watch it, because it's like we want that part of our inner counsel there. And, you know, she's saying, you yourself cannot do anything, but if it is the wish of the divine, then you will be able to do this. There's devils, you know, there's always been devils and saints, and then she does say, you know, doing it out of love will work, not status, not name, not fame, you know. And then Rajendra says, you have given us strength, and she goes, you must continue. And he says, our pilgrimage is now complete, and, you know, and off they go. But she says they have to be saints and sinners, and we go, yeah, okay. But she's very jaunty.
Yeah, you know, I mean, she's a great character.
That yeah.
We literally bumped into on the journey. You know, she was one of, I think, the very rare women yogis who live near the source of the Ganges and has lived there for many years in a cave. I think we tried to find out her story afterwards, and she was an English teacher from the Calcutta region, I believe.
Ah.
Who had left on, you know, a journey for self-realization and search for truth, and ended up in a cave near the source of the Ganges. And so you leave this little town called Gangotri, little village, which is this pilgrimage destination on the way to the source of the Ganges, and you walk, you know, 17, 18 kilometers trail up several thousand feet elevation to the source. And, you know, she was along the way in her little cave and went down there and bumped into her. And she, you know, in some ways challenged Rajendra to look within about where his motivation was coming from.
Right.
As you saw in the film, he's, you know, a noted Indian figure. People are responding to him from that place. A lot of press and interest about what he was doing. And, you know, we had observed during production, you you know, does he like talking to camera more than anything else? You know, we had these questions, you know, where is he coming from? And ultimately, you know, I think he is coming from a place of service to the work he's doing. But it was interesting for us to observe that she challenged him. And as you see that in the film, there are those questions, you know, what's his motivation? Is he human? You know, where's his shadow? What are his devils? And she articulated that quite directly to him, and also raising universal truths.
Yeah, no, it was great. I was wondering where her excellent English came in, because, of course, she was speaking Hindi, and then when she got into don't do this for status, for name, for fame, well, those are English words, you know. And if you do it just so your name is in the newspaper, then the Ganges will not be improved at all. Anyway, it was good. It was really just right. And it kind of, to tease that out, you know, kind of spiral it out, we'll talk about spirals and everybody's work spiraling, but spiral that out into, because you also, you know, delineate, you know, conflict among good-hearted people, which is why we do go ally etiquette, you know, and I do just want to bring in, you know, late great Buddy Vine Deloria, who would be out there, great Native American leader, but he was so wonderful about saying, I meet many, many young activists today who are very, very serious about themselves. He said, we were very serious about the issues, but always playful and respectful among ourselves. And that's such a good point. And again, I just go back to the substantial, you know, daunting woman saint that you have in the film. Mata Bhakti Priyananda. And that was just a happenstance that you hiked 17 kilometers and happened to find her? Or?
Well, she was along the way. She wasn't at the very source. She was closer to the town of Gangotri. So she was a few kilometers on the way to the source. And she was happenstance. And that she was there, I think what happened is one of the people who was showing Rajendra around and accompanying him when he'd come to Gangotri, and they were expecting him to arrive and then, you know, visit the source. They were like, oh, you should go and meet this woman who lives here, the saint. But it wasn't planned. We didn't know about what was happening. You know, all of a sudden we're heading off the main path down some hillside towards a cave.
The mother saint, because of course everybody speaks about, you know, the mother Ganges, and the film makes reference and your learned participants in the film, but I do remember going to a water conference, all the world's leading engineers and coming in from all over, including India, and the morning was problems, the afternoon was solutions. But and they said, you know, if the glaciers melt, as you reference in the movie Elemental, the Ganges might cease to flow. And they said this will make war look like, you know, a picnic. And the reference, you do have a consistently fabulous theme through your work and through Elemental, because, you know, Rajendra says, you know, it's the livelihood and the soul. The livelihood and the soul of the country would die. And I think that's giving scientists and artists and rationalists, you know, permission to feel their expansive kinship is, well, I mean, that's part of your, well, is it fair to say that's part of your dedication? Yeah.
Completely. I mean, I've always been drawn to the connection between culture and ecology, and I'm always amazed at how much it's lacking in the conversations around each of those subjects. Where, you know, it's starting to come more to the surface, and people start to realize, you know, often through the negative, how conflicts are tied to, you know, many more complex issues than we might consider. But culture and ecology are, to me, you know, completely intertwined and connected. And if we're disconnected from one, we will be disconnected from the other. And Rajendra is 100% correct, you know, talking about how, you know, if the Ganges dies, so will the culture and of the people of India, 500 million people who depend on the Ganges not only for a source of water, for agriculture, but also for a source of spiritual livelihood and connection. And, you know, India is a culture in which this river, the Mother Goddess, not only spawned, you know, a civilization built around agriculture and great cities along its banks, but also a great tradition that understood the connection between those two. But as you can also see in the film, those connections have become severed, most often by Western influences and, not understanding the impact of one's disrespect and the impact of one's waste on the river, which is, obviously, you see, in watching the film, very apparent.
Yeah, no, I was there a very long time ago in the early 70s, and the Ganges was pretty funky then. It's the first time I actually saw dead people in the street and in the river, because if you go to Varanasi, you die in Varanasi, you go to heaven, so a lot of people go there. But it was also in the river where just paddling along going, oh, and there's an arm, because people couldn't always afford the full amount of firewood for the complete cremation. So I was like, whoa. So yeah, and also they might have changed this, but at the time it was so, I think the British put this in, but the water intake for the city from the Ganges was downstream from the sewage dumping into the river. It's like, no.
Well, I think that's still there.
Oh, it's still there.
and maybe it was from the British, but it doesn't seem to have been improved.
No. And did you drink lassis when you were there? Did you inadvertently drink the Ganges water?
Well, maybe inadvertently without knowing, but, you know, we did swim in it a couple times in a couple different places, but tried to avoid drinking it, especially after we'd seen what we'd seen.
Right. No. I think we inadvertently drank, you know, lassis and bung lassis, and then later was like, oh, that was really just right from the river. But the river is sacred. It can hold up, you know, a certain amount. But you know, I was at a yoga music festival presenting last weekend or so, and hosted Krishna Das on radio. Kirtan, great guy. So there was much jaima, but I want to sort of toss this to you. I would love our gatherings, our festivals, to actually, you know, have an outpouring of tangible good. You know, so the yoga festival, the Krishna Das, you know, every time somebody says jaima, they, you know, contribute in some way to the cleaning up of the Ganges. You know, I think we're at a time of evolving, like, you know, we're not just Hinayana honkies in a hot tub, right? It's like, when we gather, let's, you know, do something, or even funding as sacred water. That does remind us we're in fund drive here. I just want to briefly mention we are in fund drive here, the sacred water to fuel, to encourage the growth of this radio show and this radio station, Visionary Activist Show on KPFA, 20th anniversary today. So we are offering the DVD of our guest's wonderful movie, Elemental, for a pledge of $100. We will explore in a moment what is also being offered, the DVD set of Living Library Volume 1 for a pledge of $100. And at the very end of this hour, we'll have beautiful Delia Carroll explaining the permaculture convergence, which they're generously donating 2 individual day passes for $95 or 2 4-day passes to the permaculture convergence for a pledge of $500. That's Building Resilient Communities, permacultureconvergence.com, 5 days including camping, September 14th through 18th at our allies, you know, Solar Living Institute in Hopland. Yay, wonderful. And again, by calling 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-5732, or online. We have many fabulous listeners in Australia and Japan and across the country, and even a listener in Syria. Hello, maybe more. They said the internet's better after the war, who knows, or during the war, by going online, kpfa.org. Yes, funding. But I also want to honor, you know, your fabulous website. Feel free to give it out now.
GlobalOneNessProject.org.
Thank you. Because also you're involved in many educational projects of, you know, these are films to be shown in schools and neighborhoods and all of that. Can you animate that for us?
Sure. Global Oneness Project is an online multimedia platform that focuses on how you can use the power of story to explore the values of global citizenry. And so we produce and distribute films, multimedia, photo essays, articles, all sorts of content, and companion curricula for public high school, primarily public high school in North America. We focus on the humanities, and we focus on ecological and social justice issues, political issues, economical issues, telling stories from around the world. And the idea is to offer a human lens as a way to explore some of the big issues and ideas that we're dealing with, and the importance of introducing that in classrooms, and how story can be a way to connect people, to build understanding, empathy, relationship, compassion, the values that are part of a larger global interconnected worldview. And we offer these stories for free.
Wow. That's so impressive. And you know, as we were saying backstage and forever backwards and forwards, you know, the power of story, which is, you know, we report on people doing wonderful good things, as this show, Visionary Activist Show, has been doing for 20 years, critique, problem, solution, ingenuity, here we go, we can do this thing. You know, so the people do good things, it travels by story, it inspires people to do good things, which then travels by story. It seems, you know, it's the efficient, against all odds, successful way to go, really. And yours, you know, exploring your website, yes, globaloneness project.org, you know, it's pretty vast. I mean, do you have a pretty large team?
We have a team of about half a dozen people.
Oh.
You know, we work on, you know, the story production and development component side of things, and then the education development side of things, and then the website. And then we work with filmmakers and storytellers in different parts of the world. So it isn't just the content that we produce ourselves, but we also distribute content from partner storytellers in different places who add rich and diverse voices to the mix.
That's fabulous. And we were speaking backstage briefly, you know, about how, you know, I got connected to you through the Grand Canyon Trust people, Bill and Sarah Hedden, and you had said that you had just recently, or last summer, met them.
That's right. I was invited to an event as part of a series of gatherings that were initiated by Bill and Sarah Hedden and Terry Tempest Williams, the acclaimed writer and activist, around re-envisioning the future of America's public lands. And the Grand Canyon Trust has been working in that sphere for quite some time, and they brought together writers, filmmakers, lawyers, policy experts, activists, farmers, people who are working in different ways, people working for the National Park Service in Washington as well, who are working towards how we can think of our public lands in a different way, how we can approach the challenges that they're dealing with, whether it be oil and gas extraction, lack of respect, all the different things that they're facing. And we spent some days talking about these issues. And so that's how I connected with them, and I guess through them to you.
Yeah, no, that's right. Again, and so it goes. Because I was like, who should I have on the radio? And they were like, you. Absolutely. And I go, I hear and I obey. Because, yes, in the same way, they said, hey, Manuel von Lee. And I'm like, I will follow that clue. Absolutely. Because this is part of our wealth and part of the Renaissance wealth. Who brought what to this party? So I was, you know, I've always been dedicated to that our language, our story, and our metaphor be in accord with our dedicated hearts. And so they got in touch with me, but I didn't and I'm going to go out there to Utah, southeastern Utah, at the end of September, you know, honored, going, I'm glad I have something to contribute to these incredibly effective people, and just to put, I think, on our altar of desirable manifestation, yeah, the project that they're working on with the five tribes who have lived in southeastern Utah for millennia, to protect 1.9 million acres in happy corresponding with the federal government, and to have a native indigenous science center, educational center with also Western science that would be in Bluff, which I'm also going to go look at. So, but it is neck and neck, right? Because, you know, Obama's for it, but Utah's a swing state this year, right? So, weirdly, the Mormons don't like rudeness, so it's all in play, and they don't like singling out one religion for persecution, so Trump has kind of lost the Mormons in this quirky time. But we do want to see, you know, November 9th, really, you know, Obama, because already there's rapacious, you know, let's drill in it and open it up for drilling. So it's all very on the balance, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
yep. But I agree.
But that's why I think part of ally etiquette is, you know, we go, let's see the power of story and the power of visioning, not counting on, not expecting, you know, but seeing. That's part of, I think, the partnering with, you know, our May the ancestors place a cloak of guiding earth wisdom around Obama's shoulders. May there be surprising, pardons and great good on his way out, going, and here and that, and Leonard Peltier's free, and 1.9 million acres is preserved, and let's just not expect, because that's disappointing, but to see that thing, because your work kind of crosses borders, yeah?
Yeah, it's mostly international focused, but some stories, focused on telling based in the U.S.
But I mean, it also crosses borders in the sense of you can show that to, if you had a right wing Sufi uncle.
I like that one, a right wing Sufi uncle.
Well, everything's possible.
I think the power of a story, if a story is told well, is that it can reach multiple audiences. And if a story is only valuable to one group of people, I think it's a limitation. I think all storytellers strive to be able to tell a story that can not only reach the choir, and that only they or the mother will be the one who wants to watch it or read it or listen to it. So I strive to try and do that. I think sometimes I do a better job than others. But the goal is to always try and tell a story that will reach as many people as possible.
Yeah. And so maybe we can, honor a little bit the three beings in Elemental. Ariel, is it Deranger or
Deranger? Yeah.
Deranger. Oh, good. And Brijendra Singh and Jay Harmon. And just a little bit. Can you just animate them for us, and people can have a great, what their kinship.
Sure. Brijendra Singh, one of the characters in Elemental, he is known as the Water Man or Water Gandhi of India. His claim to fame was transforming large swaths of Rajasthan from desert into farmland by bringing back ancient water harvesting techniques through developing small earthenware dams and villages around the region. And his work impacted the lives of millions of people and reinvigorated what was turning into not just a physical desert, but also a desert as people left in search of economic livelihood in the cities because they could no longer make a living as farmers in the countryside. And through that, he learned not only the power of water, but the power of community around water, and started to put his attention towards trying to save India's rivers, and especially the Ganges, and bring his attention and knowledge to that monumental task which he has committed his life towards. And so the film follows his journey as he goes from source to sea. The Ganges is 1,600 miles as it goes from the Himalayas in Gomukh at 17,000 feet to Ganga Saga near Calcutta and the Bay of Bengal. And we follow him on a journey, a pilgrimage, where he's trying to raise awareness about what's happening to the river, and also raise an army of water warriors, as he calls them, people who would take charge of the river and become stewards and recognize that sanctity is not only rhetoric, but must also be put into action. Ariel Deranger is another character in the film, and she is a Dene First Nations woman from Fort Chipewyan, Athabasca community, downstream of the tar sands, which is the world's largest industrial development. And she and her community and her family have been suffering the impacts of that development, cancer rates skyrocketing from polluted water, no longer able to fish or hunt or sustain themselves from food that they used to be able to hunt or fish for generations. And the film follows her as she works to try and raise attention about this issue and tackle the Keystone XL pipeline, which was ultimately stopped, both in 2012 with the first iteration, which we followed in the film, all the way to the gates of the White House, and then obviously in the subsequent years it has tried to come through, but again was struck down. And the third character, Jay Harmon, who is a scientist and a lover of nature, who sees the patterns in nature and values what nature has to teach us, and bases his ideas, his projects, his engineering from the way that nature and water moves, which of course is in the archetypal shape of a spiral. And he is seeking out solutions to climate change and water pollution from what nature can show us. And so his story is quite different than the other two who are kind of battling these monumental tasks, cleaning the Ganges, trying to stop the tar sands development, but he is rather seeking solutions, elegant solutions from nature, and offering kind of a 30,000-foot view of how we can look at the natural world and what it has to teach us.
Although in the spirit of our dedication on the show and everywhere, maybe so, to trickster, you know, the against all odds, defiant, you know, evolutionary, experimental genius of nature, he goes, you know, what I'm trying to do is impossible, so therefore I'm doing it. And we go, that's what we're doing. You know, you did mention at the very finale of the film, you know, that his atmospheric mixer successfully simulated and is now moving towards full-scale field trials. So when I saw that in the film, going, all right, you can maybe explain to us the convection currents normally go up and, you know, cool the thing, but there's a ceiling of smudge and horrible rudeness and manifest pollution that humans have created, that's sort of a ceiling, so the convection currents can't go all the way up. So he's got a 747 engine with a spiral on top of it.
Well, he has the, you know, it hasn't really moved forward since beyond the, you know, the initial testing that they've done.
So, my question was, you know, and what fuel is it running on?
Well, of course, it'd be running off, you know, gas.
Right.
So, you know, it's not necessarily sustainable in 100% of its capacity, but the idea was to use some of modern engineering with the power of how nature actually works with moving air currents to disperse layers of pollution in cities like Beijing or New Delhi or Tehran or many others in Mexico City, which are suffering from tremendous pollution that are often in valleys where the air does not circulate, and how that could be used to address that issue. And also he was hoping that it could also be used to slow down glacial melting and warming in key areas, you know, which is a bit of a pipe dream too.
Well, no, we like pipe dreams. Because I think it is who brought what. I mean, the idea of you know, reclaiming even the whole nature of politics as what it's meant to be right now, which is an educational theater. It's like, all right, the candidates are like, you know, but the educational theater, the sail that Bernie put up to catch the wind, and what a great boat he had, and what an agile sailor, and still there, may he be, you know, influential, but also what he represented. But it's also that idea of going, no, we're, you know, and the candidates have no story. So it's like, well, we've got a story. You know, and I think that is why it's, you know, who brought what. And the encouraging, you know, in the kind of mythological, astrological language, you know, Uranus trickster is nature's evolutionary ingenuity that has no category about success fail. I mean, other parts of us do. It's like, try that, put big ears on this mammal, see if it lives for a couple million years. Let's go. Try that. That's not working. The atmospheric mixer, good idea, but maybe not on gas. All right, try that. And I think that's, you know, part of, I mean, you clearly in your dedication are, you know, a contributor to, you know, renaissance of reverent ingenuity rising up, you know, in educational ways and in the films that you make. I mean, is that a happy long moniker for yourself?
I'll take it.
Okay. That's great. You know, and again, against all odds, we love this, and who brought what, and I mean, you're so organized. Also, when people go to globalonenessproject.org, it's like, it looks like more than six people, you know, and are you a practicing Sufi as well as your dad, or?
Yes, very much so.
Oh, excellent. Because I think it, you know, the esoteric realm of the beauty of Islam and that fabulous kind of yearning, and the great Arabic word majnun, which, you know, among somebody taught me in beautiful Palmyra when it was beautiful, that it means crazy for the divine. We go, yeah, let's turn ordinary crazy into majnun, crazy for the divine, in that sense of ecstasy, and that the word ecstatic means to stand outside. So we're calling all ecstatic people who've been outside, you know, move on in and in a kahoot and participate. And I think it is, you know, when I said about, you know, earned optimism, I think that's what's so powerful about your work and powerful about the work, the film Elemental, is, you know, the Ganges is full of acid and chromium and lead, and it destroys everything. And as Rajendra says, nothing can happen until society changes. But before you go all too soon, can you animate for us what you have kindly offered the set, the Living Library set, which includes so many fabulous, wait, I have it here, but so many fabulous small or short movies?
Sure, and I'll tie it back into what you were just saying, because many of the stories in that set, I think there's 14 films in that set that I made in the last 4 or 5 years, I guess so, as many of those stories are about optimism from what I like to call the edges of the world, from communities who are often feeling the impacts of climate change or globalization in very, very direct ways that are often not shared or part of the mainstream media or outside of the reality of most of our awareness here in the West. And you know, that's often where I found the most optimism, is in the places that are in some ways being the hardest hit. So I'll give you an example. One of the films called Yukon Kings, and it tells the story of a grandfather who is teaching his grandson how to fish in a little Yupik community called Imonik on the edge of the Bering Sea in the Yukon Delta in Alaska. And that Yukon has been experiencing very low salmon runs for years, and up and down. One year it'll be really low, the next year it'll be high, the next 2 years really, really low, and, you know, just like in so many places in the world, kind of sporadic changes that people can't explain. And this community is dependent on the salmon, has lived off the salmon for millennia, and now is their economic livelihood. The few thousand dollars most families make a year is from the commercial salmon fishing that they do in the summertime. But it also provides sustenance. They make salmon jerky and live off salmon through much of the year as their main source of protein in the place where it's $15 for a gallon of milk or, you know, $20 for a pound of ground chuck. Salmon becomes a really healthy and sustainable and realistic alternative. And the setting for this story is within that backdrop. And yet this family who is facing this uncertain future with nowhere to go, this is where they've always been. This is their home. This is their culture. This is their place. This is their spiritual tradition. And yet within that, they are moving forward and saying, well, we have to live who we are, where we are now, and not only be overwhelmed by the uncertainty of the future, that we have to continue on with grace, with dignity, with perseverance, with humanity. And there are other films like that exploring those similar themes of places like the Île de Jean-Charles in southern Louisiana, which very recently the occupants of were the first official climate refugees in the lower 48 and given federal money to relocate from their small island to the mainland. And this is an island that served as an inspiration for the Oscar-nominated film Beasts of the Southern Wild. And the film tells the story of two residents who are living on this island and their experience of this place that is their home, that is disappearing, literally slipping away into the sea. And yet, despite that, they still continue on. They still have families. They still live life. They still search for meaning and truth and a future amidst that. So how do you have that optimism? How do you have that sense of possibility and yet living in a world which is so uncertain? And, you know, that's really our whole story. It's just that places at the edges, you know, there are more and more of them now, are feeling it more directly. We feel it a little less comfortable. You know, we're a little more comfortable here in the Bay Area. But, you know, if you're in the Isle de Jean-Charles or now in Chesapeake Bay, or, you know, look what happened in Louisiana on the mainland with the flooding recently. This is a story which many of us are going to experience in our lifetime. So how are we going to remain true and optimistic and realistic about building a future we all want to participate in and yet be faced with these challenges? So there are several stories that explore that theme. And there are also more optimistic stories there that are about revitalizing a Native American language.
Yes, I was just thinking
The story of Marie Wilcox, which it was a real pleasure to be able to tell, who was the last speaker of the Wiktimi language. And the Wiktimi language is a language of the Yoka people in Central California. And she was the last speaker of this language, and over the last 20 years created a dictionary to revitalize it. The film tells the story of her journey creating this dictionary and then bringing back a possibility of language for future generations. So there's a collection of different
things. I just wanted to add that, you know, Marie might be, because there was Chief Marie, who was Athabaskan Eyak and one of the last speakers of her language. And I love when her family and friends came and said, oh, but if you die, we'll lose the language. And she said, the language comes from the land. If you maintain your intimacy with the land, you will keep the language. And anyway, it's very strong. But yeah, no, I loved your film also on your Chief Marie. Very beautiful and wonderful. So do you have a blessing you'd like to receive, or a blessing or both, or a blessing you'd like to waft out into the memosphere out there?
Oh gosh, that's a tough question. I would encourage people to embrace the power of story wherever they are. Not through my stories, but through the stories that are living and breathing in every moment of our lives. If we pay attention to what's around us and step up from our smartphones, look up from our smartphones, look around to the people around us and where we are, and acknowledge that we're part of it. And this is our future and our story, and we get to decide how we want to tell it. If we listen.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Emmanuel von Lee, filmmaker, musician, composer, whose award-winning films have been featured everywhere and now on KPFA as well. But you can add that to your resume. There you go. So anyway, it's a delight to meet you. I'm glad we have so many allies in common, and we are grateful for your work spiraling out there into the world. Thank you.
Thank you, Caroline. A pleasure to join you today.
That's great. A great pleasure. So, team, we are going to transition here briefly, but let me proclaim we've done a real show, and we never engage in haranguing, but I would like, you know, enthusiastic, exhortational magnetizing to take place right now, because we are in Fun Drive. And we have a great new Fun Drive captain. I just want to do a shout-out to Kevin Cartwright, who's our new Fun Drive captain, who is completely skookum and wonderful. Emmanuel von Lee has made this beautiful movie with others, Elemental, that we were talking about. And you can have that as a thank you gift, as a magnetizing enticement for a pledge of $100. The 2DV set, The Living Library, Volume 1, you know, which he said is so beautiful. It's got 14 films make up the Living Library of Global Stories, exploring the threads that connect culture, ecology, and beauty. And as many of the reviews said, these are films that do bear watching, and again, over more than once, and then to watch them, to give them to a library, to have a screening. So his 14 films on this two-disc DVD set, Kaleri Yukon Kings, Barrio de Paz, Laugh Clown Laugh, The People's Grocery, Silent Crescendo, A Thousand Suns, Path of Freedom, Karma Kitchen, Not Just a Piece of Cloth, Ubuntu, A Game for Life, The Ocean Inside, and What Would It Look Like? These are all earned optimism from the edges of the world, and it's clearly, team, you know, the only way to go. You know, no future in nihilism, come on here. And it's, again, partnering with nature's elegant solution, biomimicry everywhere, against all odds. And it is Bernie Sanders' birthday, and it is the 20th anniversary of the Visionary Activist Show. So woof, just for that. And also, so you can have the film Elemental for a pledge of $100 by calling 1-800-439-5732, or donating online at kpfa.org. Hello, all you team all over the place. Also, we're offering the 2DV set of The Living Library, Volume 1, for a pledge of $100. And in a moment, we'll have our wonderful ally, Delia Carroll, to animate for us the permaculture convergence, the Building Resilient Communities convergence that is generously donating passes to the upcoming event, which is September 14th through 18th. We know that's a little close. There are 2 one-day passes available any day you want, I think. Delia will make that clearer, for a pledge of $95 each. We also have 2 full passes for the entire 5 days, September 14th through 18th. This is at the Solar Living Institute in Hopland, California. And that would be for a pledge of $500 for a 5-day pass. It's about the same as what you'd pay anyway, which is why not get 2 birds stoned with 1 scone. So we're going to take, again, all of those can be yours by calling 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-5732, or pledging online, kpfa.org. We're going to take a very brief musical break, rousing and pertinent, Idle No More. that is idle no more. Rousing. We are all rousing together to protect what we love and form a partnership with nature. We had our wonderful guest just now, Emmanuel von Lee, who has gone back to do more dedicated works out there in the world. As you know, we're offering his movie Elemental, a feature documentary about protecting what we love, really inspiring, and a Living Library Volume 1, a collection of 14 films, each of those for a pledge of $100. And now, joining us, longtime ally Delia Carroll. Welcome, Delia.
Thank you, Caroline. Glad to be here.
I'm delighted you're here because, for many reasons, you are one of the cohorters of the Building Resilient Communities Convergence, and maybe you can tell our listeners what they could get.
I'd be happy to tell everybody about this.
Okay, good.
First of all, I just want to say a little something about permaculture for people who might not know about it. Permaculture is a grassroots-driven design methodology which has been spreading around the world since the 70s. Based on three simple ethics, tens of thousands of practitioners are actively working to redesign their lives, their landscapes, and their cultures. And then you might ask, what is a convergence? A convergence is a party of permaculture practitioners, and that's what that's what's happening in Hopland from September 14th through September 18th. We have passes to give away, two full-day passes and two one-day passes. If you buy a one-day pass, you will probably want to come on the weekend. We're having music. There'll be activities beginning at 9 in the morning all the way through midnight.
Yes. And just to again clarify to our dedicated listeners, some of whom have been listening to this show for 20 years, I know you're out there, the wonderful permaculture team has contributed so you can have a one-day pass. Delia recommends the weekend, Friday or Saturday, your choice, for a pledge of $95. We only have two of those. And 2 4-day passes. Oh, how wonderful. Which includes, including camping.
Including camping, yeah. And there are actually 5-day passes.
5-day, yes, yeah. Exactly. Thank you. That's right. Yeah. 5-day passes. Right. That's right. Even better. And you can have one of those for a pledge of $500. We know it's coming up pretty close, September 14th through 18th, but we like skidding in. We know you're out there. Two people who really go, oh, that's wonderful. And it basically is, again, you would not be paying less if you went there. Let's put it that way.
That's true.
That's good. So, again, for those Building Resilient Communities Convergence, meeting allies, honing techniques, and also community-based, nature-inspired, people-powered solutions to climate change, resource depletion, economic instability, 100 speakers, 70 workshops, music and entertainment. Why? People can't afford not to go.
It's true. There's a ton of activity, and there is also a beautiful environment. You've been to SLI, Solar Living Institute. It's a wonderful spot, and we've really gone out of our way to make the areas inviting and comfortable and conducive to conversation and connection. Because if you set aside the educational aspects, a lot of this is about connecting with your like-minded peers, and you're going to find them.
Yeah.
Solar Living Institute.
And exactly. No, it is all a perfect pattern, and not to force the thing too much, but, 20 years of the Visionary Activist Show today, again, is in cahoots. It is the voice of, people like our great ally Delia Carroll and also Emmanuel von Lee and people with Ingenious Solutions and Paul Stamets and wonderful Gwich'in elder Sarah James, who was really great, too. When I was marching with her once in Washington, she's like, oh, and we're going to kick George W. Bush's butt in a good way. And we're going to just take them to court and just make them favor in a good way. And anyway, so kick butt dynamic women and men, women who eat like the wolves and the men who love them. I mean, all of that. Again, this is a place of confluence and convergence, as is the Building Resilient Communities Converging. So that's why, what we're proffering as thank you gifts, as magnetizing enticements, and 20 years on the air for you should rouse some bleeping enthusiasm. Come on, team, by calling 1-800-439-5732. Again, any amount is completely welcome. Surprise us. $5, adorable. $500,000, really witty. Or anything in between. Again, you can have the movie Elemental for a pledge of $100. You can have the 2DV set, Living Library Volume 1, really great, 14 inspiring stories for a pledge of $100. You can have single-day passes to the Permaculture Convergence. There's only two of those. Somebody tell me if they're already gone. And on the weekend, and that would be September... what is the weekend, Delia?
September 17th or September 18th.
Thank you. September 17th or 18th, a one-day pass at the beautiful Solar Living Institute, which is one of the most wonderful places on the planet. Again, great friend of the show. And that's, again, for a pledge of $95 or 2 5-day, thank you, 5-day passes to the Permaculture Convergence. If you're fluid and available September 14th through 18th, and we know that two of you are out there, I can feel it. And that's for a pledge of $500 each, which is about, you know, again, it's not really much more than it. Anyway, so it's incredibly worth it, and the rousing woof of Delia. So any or all of those things can be yours as a thank you gift, as a magnetizing enticement, by calling 1-800-439-5732 or online kpfa.org. That would be great. Yes, I hear you breathing.
Yes, I want to say something.
Please.
Today, a fun fact, today is also the 50th anniversary of the first showing of Star Trek.
Oh, how wonderful.
Isn't that great?
So,
I'm making a connection between how Star Trek painted a hopeful universe.
Yes.
Right? We went forth to explore, having solved all of our kerfuffles that are happening right now.
Wait, so it's the 50th anniversary?
Yes.
That's great. Oh, sorry. Okay, so it's Karen Sanders' Wonderful Herbal Highway, 20th anniversary. It's Visionary Activist Show, Caroline Casey, 20th anniversary. It's Star Trek 50th. What good company.
Right.
And I do just want to kind of put out also, for fun, just two Star Trek themes, again, part of what you're pledging for in a way, which is remember when the spirit of fear takes over the spaceship, the thing that had animated Jack the Ripper, and Captain Kirk, basically, it feeds on fear. It feeds on fear. And Captain Kirk gets the whole crew stoned, basically. And they're like, and the gloomy spirit, the Trumpian thing, the monstrosity is like, you're all gonna die. And, you know, Uhura and everybody are like, oh, this guy sure is gloomy. Anyway, that's part of what this show is dedicated to, which is the composting of fear through ecstatic elevation. And the other thing I just want to bring up that we're dedicated to, and so is the Resilient Communities Convergence, is Eddie Izzard says, Star Trek, a very advanced civilization, but their phasers only had two settings, stun or kill. We need many, many, many more settings. And so he rips it, and I'm going to toss it to you, Delia. He has, you know, sudden interest in botany setting. I will kill you. Oh, look at the moss.
Right. That's right.
Right. And so,
interest in building sandcastles.
Yeah, no, that's right. So in a way, building resilient communities convergence that people can attend, they can. At the Solar Living Institute, Hopland, California, September 14th through 18th, we have individual day passes for a pledge of $95. You can go on the weekend, Saturday or Sunday, 17th or 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go 5-day passes to the whole thing if you're mm-hmm. available and you move fast, and many people are, September 14th through 18th, for a pledge
and
of $500.
You know, we have some fabulous keynote speakers,
uh-huh.
one of whom is Penny Opal Plant, who's one of the West Coast founders, one of the founders of the West Coast chapter of Idle No More.
Oh.
And she's going to talk to us about the Indigenous Women of the Americas defending Mother Earth Treaty, which we're seeing in play right now in Standing Rock. We're seeing Native women standing up.
Yeah, and also, it is a community, you know, dynamic healing. Many people, and many people who are there have been guests on this show. You know,
mm-hmm.
a little shout out to Carolyn Ravensburger and you know, Sarah James is in the North. She's not there now, but Winona LaDuke, many going, oh, and I love also that many peoples, indigenous peoples from the North are in their canoes now coming down the Missouri River. It is a convergence.
It is. And you know, Carolyn, I have to say that the Visionary Activist Show has been a micro offering all these years of all the people you're talking about, all the people who've come through your show and who have affected every one of us who listen regularly. This has been a real devotional offering from you out on the airwaves to the rest
of
us.
Well, it's again power of story, and we know that it's such a powerful time. And again, as many of our listeners love astrology, and many of them don't, but they love the show anyway. But it's a beautiful dynamic, and part of what's beautiful right now is Jupiter is entering Libra, and it's also we go, all right, all this knowledge wants to go into story, and it's time to emerge and connect with our team. So many great teammates, you know, are just like 1/4 inch separate, and it's like time to go.
That's right.
The web, you know, so to go to the Resilient Communities Convergence, yes, or to Kahoot on this radio station and this radio show, Visionary Activist Show, and, you know, to be in touch with allies. We got, you know, I get a lot of mail from listeners in prison, pledge for them, because they can't, and they go, you know, I feel less alone, I feel more of an embraced community. Woman, you know, who's on military base going, oh, you know, this show keeps me sane. So we pledge, you know, homeless people listen to this show, we love that thing. And as we know that the right wing crazy competitor with Fox News is forming the Trump, Roger Ailes, Sean Hannity, Breitbart News Service of spewing incredible poison. So we are called upon to be the antidote, to invite the best of humans to participate at this time of dire beauty.
That's exactly right. We're the counterbalance.
Yeah.
And you've been holding it down for 20 years, connecting us, inviting all sorts of interesting people in, inviting the outsiders back in, listening to diverse voices.
That's true.
Saying out loud really what many of us have been thinking and not realizing that anybody else was thinking along the same lines.
That's the crucial thing. You know, we dissolve the tyranny of the reality police and any sneaky vestiges of colonialism in our hearts and psyches. And part of composting, any residual, you know, colonialism inside is the wedding of spiritual cooperation with nature, with activism and animism, as indigenous people never forgot, and all people once knew, and that's part of the dynamic. So again, let me put out the numbers and then toss it back to you, Delia. But 1-800-439-5732, you know, pledge just for the hell of it, you know, as well as we'll give you a thank you gift if you'd like. You can have the beautiful movie DVD Elemental for a pledge of $100. You can have the 2-DV set of Living Library, 14 great stories, People Earned Optimism, for a pledge of $100. You can have a single day pass to the Permaculture Convergence over this weekend, September 17th or 18th, for a pledge of $95. You can have a 5-day pass to the Permaculture Convergence for a pledge of $500. Let's go, team! By calling 1-800-439-5732. 1-800-HEY-KPFA, or donating online. Whoops, KPFA.org. Yes?
Dear. Yeah, please do call. KPFA really needs the money, and I hate to think that you would not be on the air anymore. You know, I've been listening for over 30 years, so I probably heard your first show.
Yeah, it was. I have it right here. It was September 5th, 1996 at 12
noon. There you go.
12 noon in Berkeley. Mercury was retrograde. There we go.
I just can't imagine Northern California without KPFA on the airwaves.
No,
anybody who can, please contribute what you can.
And also, I think we want to be part of a rousing, unexpected, against all odds kind of dynamic. Jupiter enters Libra and enters KPFA's second house of spiritual funding. Let's go. I think that this station is more, and this network is more needed than ever. And we compost any kind of like, whaley kind of thing, and then the spells about money, and we go, no, money equals waters of life. We are casting off any tyranny of ambivalence, like, oh, money. And we go, no, money for good things. You know, Jay Harmon's projects, spiral projects, and cleaning water technology. You know, a great, many, many great people on the show are finally getting funded. Oh, I hear the ending music. Is there a blessing woof that you want to put out there, Gilia?
Choose to trust.
There we go.
Trust your intuition. Trust your desirable vision.
Woof. Woof, woof. And do feel free to, or do feel encouraged to attend the Building Resilient Communities Convergence. Again, you can pledge for that if you want, and we're on our way out. I want to thank Timmy Olstead in D.C., the Berkeley crew out there in Berkeley, and Caroline Casey in Washington, D.C. Thanks also to our new Fund Drive captain, Kevin Cartwright. Thank you so much, Delia.
Thank you, Caroline.
Woof, woof, woof. We will reconvene next week. Thank you, team.
And it is 3 o'clock here at KPFA, 94.1 FM in Berkeley, 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz.